All right, welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. We will be joined in progress with a conversation between Chuck Salvatore and Katie Rose Cronin, where I will be trying to end their bitter 2-year feud. You may or may not find out how bitter it was. I'm Matthew Aaron.
I'm Lee Capreas. Hello.
I'm Katie Rose Cronin.
Oh, and all the creeps are going to be loving some Katie Rose today, I promise
Lord
you.
Almighty.
I'm also joined by producer Adam and producer Caesar. Enjoy the show. I'm going to tell you how this goes, actually. And, you know, hopefully I still have a guest calling in 5 minutes. We'll just have to edit it really, really well. Oh, my show's getting popular. Don't know why. All right, so Chuck... are you there? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I'm here.
could you sound any more like you're about to slit your wrist?
Oh, man, I'm here for you. Great show. Love your show. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Actually, you were our first call last week, Charles. So here's the deal. I got Katie Rose here.
Hi, Chuck.
Hello.
Chuck,
I said hello.
It was a weak hello, pal. That hello had so many emotions in it.
It was positively Ben Steinian.
Okay, Charles.
Lee Capreas here.
Yeah, Lee Capreas, Katie Rose, we're here. Finally, I had to take a 45-minute crap. it's called the Matthew Aaron Show.
Oh!
God, we don't even have cheap... Because my mother said, none of the musical stuff, it's stupid. So no cymbals, no sound effects.
No.
Nothing this week, just for my... And I'm going to show her...
They're going to call and say that I'm kind of sugarless.
Oh, God. Yeah, she ripped apart our guest, didn't she? Crickets never calling back ever again. Uh-huh. She sounds like frosting without the sugar. What was that?
Before.
Yeah, what was that? Did she learn that down south or something? Where she picked that up?
Some little house on the prairie barnyard analogy.
Yeah. So, Charles, can we end this feud between you and Katie Rose?
What feud? I've met him once for like 15 minutes.
Charles.
And apparently you hate me, Charles?
Charles, let's be honest here. You're on live.
You know I was kidding.
What?
You know Katie Rose and I, we were kidding about that girl that we didn't think you were really seeing.
Yeah, I don't care.
Really, Chuck?
Have you been over this up?
No, he's faking it because he's on live.
Okay, you guys are really breaking up. I can't hear you.
Charles, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, that's an excuse. The breaking up was an excuse.
Hello?
Charles?
Matt? Hello?
Yeah, what? Are you there?
Okay. All right. Dude, you're breaking up. I can't hear you.
Oh, shit.
No,
Chuck.
It wasn't bullshit.
It's probably the Skype. Okay. So can you and Katie Rose make up now over us thinking this picture of this girl you were supposedly seeing could not ever happen in a million years?
He heard that.
Dude, it was like 2 years ago. I don't even care.
It was like 2 years
Matt
ago.
Matt tells me that you are always like, F Katie Rose.
True or false, Charles?
Yeah, because Matt's always like, I'm going to call Katie Rose. You two are going to hang out. You're going to talk. And then he's always like, you know what she says? You and Len are the biggest bunch of scumbag giggles I've ever heard. True story. She does say this.
I have no idea.
Never
How
said that.
How offensive calling them scumbags.
I have never, ever said that.
Charles, I have no idea what you speak of.
Oh, you're so full of shit.
Chuck, I apologize for everything that he's made up about what I've said because I've never said a word.
All right, this didn't go quite the way I was hoping. Now I'm getting thrown.
Yeah, because it's going the truth.
Oh, here we go.
Wow.
Here we go. Let me guess. He's fixing his fake tie.
Oh, let me tell you something. Pull your lip over your head and swallow. Eh?
All right, you know what? I don't have jowls like you. My lips aren't that big.
Oh, wow.
You know what? I'm going to let you win that one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that Katie Rose made up, we can all go out together, see each other.
No,
I'm not going to get into the. Katie Rose, what is your opinion of greasy Italian men with pinky rings?
It's.
So it's a true story.
It's not a true story. It's more of like the personification of like a dirty Southside Italian guy that like the juice of gorilla that I can't stand. I just choose not to hang out with them. I don't hate them. I don't talk about them like you say I do.
Okay.
I have Italian friends and family.
Who?
My brother-in-law.
Kasha Cereal. Does not count.
Oh, hi, Kasha.
I love her. Does not count, though.
She totally does. My brother-in-law has the little spermy guy hanging from a chain.
The spermy guy? Hey, Charles, she just called the chili peppers spermy guys.
Aren't they horns?
They're horns to ward off.
Yeah, they're horns. But I have had a girl ask me, why do you have a red hot chili pepper?
Yeah. It's... No, it's the horn wards off the evil eye, wards off Malok, the Maloika.
What's correct. This then?
That's the evil eye, the two fingers, party fingers, metal fingers. That's
so, Katie Rhodes, you're really hitting on your
I love
mythology
everyone.
Here, and you're just hurting people's feelings. They need their horns.
Peace and love.
She's peace and love. She's stuffed clean full of blueberry cupcakes.
I have no idea what that means. It sounds perverted. It sounds perverted.
It's another way of saying someone is nice. That's all. I just use 11 words when 4 will do.
I like it.
Thankfully. Well, Charles, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Am I going to be seeing you this weekend? Or am I going to stop being antisocial? We'll go out. Caesar's birthday.
I don't know. Are you going to stop being antisocial?
Oh, Caesar has a birthday party Saturday, which, by the way, we talked about a little bit last week before we were recording. Caesar is in the room, so if he has any response to this, he's more than welcome to respond.
Happy birthday, Caesar.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. To hell with you, Caesar.
So he's throwing a birthday party. Who's throwing the birthday party for you?
It's just the two guys having a birthday together.
A friend of his fiance is throwing a birthday party for him and another dude on the same night. Little gay, kind of gay, really gay. Which one is it?
What, they don't throw me a birthday party? The hell with them.
Yeah, no one threw you a birthday. No one's throwing you a birthday party. By the way, that's coming up.
Yes, Monday.
Ooh. Happy birthday Monday, Chuck, since we won't be back on until next Thursday.
At least that now has an excuse for not remembering.
And odds are we'll never be back on again anyways.
Yeah.
So Blog Talk's been trying to get rid of us for a week now. And iTunes thought we were speaking hate speech last week, so I had a fight with them to get on the iTunes.
Which is shocking.
Yeah. Well, I guess what happened was iTunes was concerned because Blog Talk Radio filed us under Society and Culture. We're a comedy show, but they thought we were philosophers, and when they heard the first 10 minutes all being about how Lee's not a Jew, and then me
in
making
no context
some,
whatsoever.
No, and then me making some off color, and I'm not going to name the color, kind of joke, they thought it was hate speech, and they did not understand that we weren't KKK radio, no. That we're telling jokes.
Right.
Why is it everybody I'm on the radio with is labeled a racist and has to come out and apologize?
Well, who's the other guy you're on the radio with?
The sports rock show that I'm on the radio for. They got in trouble for talking about camel jockeys.
Oh, you should bring that up. Your Sunday morning little chat-a-thon you do. Where's that at? What station? 50?
They could be found in Chicago on 7:50 a.m. Sundays from 11 to noon. And
don't
you can listen to us online at z4media.com.
I have a feeling it's like 3 electrical lines in Chicago you have to stand under to hear the show. Because I've turned it on Sundays, and all I hear is kind of like our show. Minus the
You're not under the right power line.
No. Well, I think I've never been under the right power line. So
that's why you can go to z4media.com and listen to it there.
Oh, you got in your plug.
Wow.
Oh, zforcemedia.com.
That was
really smooth. Like,
yeah.
You've done this before, Charles. I don't think you
have. I have a few times.
Where have you done this? Who's ever had you on the radio?
I used to guest host the show in the morning.
I'm not even sure you're on now.
No, we're actually not sure you're really even on. But we're only having you on because it's internet radio. If it was real radio. Stop.
Hey, whatever. I'm on real radio, dude. Let's see you get on there.
Ooh. Ooh. How much do one of those radio stations cost nowadays? Like $50? Lee, I got 25. If you got 25, let's go pick
yeah.
one up.
All right.
I think it's $150 an hour.
Okay.
Right. That's how much it is to get on the radio.
We'll do one magical hour.
Oh, God, you guys get paid nothing anymore, do you? Radio's dead, terrestrial radio, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yikes, wow. You guys get paid shit. $150 an hour? I could get $150 an hour for this piece.
Well, I don't get paid anything.
Oh, Charles, you've been doing this almost a year now for free?
Yeah, and I did the morning shows for free, too.
Now...
That's sweet. That's
Charles, when you're good at something, you don't do it for free, pal.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm on the air for 90 seconds at a time doing updates. Like, what am I going to pay me?
You know what I think people hear when they hear Chuck and I talking? I think they hear, like, two old Jews, and they're, like, thinking... Like, no music.
We have had this conversation before that I'm Richard Lewis and you're Larry David.
Oh, you get to be Richard Lewis. Why? Because you have some hair?
Yeah.
Swear to God, I don't mean to throw Chuck under the bus, and I'm sure I'll have some witty retort. But one time I was missing Chuck. Like, I went to go drop off Lenny and Pat and the guys, and I came back to the bar, and I couldn't find Chuck. And I looked in the window from outside, and I see this shiny big bald spot. And it was Chuck passed out on the bar.
Like hunched over
Yes. Remember
when
that?
When was this?
Which night was it? You got hammered and you fell asleep on the bar.
That's classy. I've done that.
It was only a couple months ago.
Yeah.
It's not as good as one.
Oh, I know when it was. Okay.
I remember. Chuck, how come you've never driven me home where I get to sleep on the car ride and I get to be drunk? I'm always driving.
Because you're always like, I'll pick you up, and I'm like, okay.
Well, you are on the way to the city.
You're that guy when you get drunk, you don't pass out. You're just a bull
No. Well, and I don't drink really when we go out. I don't remember the last time.
No, Matt starts drinking and he becomes a mean drunk and he starts making fun of everybody.
Oh, that is not true.
Surprise.
Surprise, surprise. You really thought that about me, that I get drunk?
Yes.
Really?
A little bit.
Chuck is bringing
definitely a mean drunk
that we're not going to talk about because I promised him I'd never talk about it ever again. He wanted
and
to fight.
And then he also, but Matt also gets really silly and he starts saying stuff that doesn't make sense and he starts laughing and then he starts elbow dropping his dick.
Okay, we're going to need an example
right.
of this
yeah,
because I don't remember this at all.
So he's belligerent and silly.
Yeah, he gets to a point where he gets silly and kind of ridiculous. Then he gets a little mean, and then he starts elbow dropping his dick.
So there's a whole progression to it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh. I got to see this.
No, I don't think there is really. I'm not too sure what he's talking about. And what's
how
this silly? What's
yeah, I
want to
hear. What do you mean by silly?
Like rubber chicken.
You make it sound real gay.
Yeah.
Okay, because like the last time we were out, you're sitting at the bar and Caesar's talking to some girl, and for 20 minutes you're just sitting there yelling, Caesar! And then Lenny's talking to a girl, and you're like, Lenny, we're going to see some titties! I want some boobies in my face!
Oh, God.
He wanted to go to the Admiral. He's like, Lenny!
Brony!
Boobies in my face!
Has nothing to do with anything. Many people go to the Admiral.
Keep talking, Chuck.
Oh, now they're best friends.
I didn't hear what you said, Katie.
Keep talking, because you guys are besties now.
You know, we're going to follow each other on Twitter now and just make fun of you.
Sounds like a plan to me.
That'll be the next podcast.
Okay, yeah, but this is how great Chuck is on Twitter, okay? He was talking about Man Cow today. I thought he wrote that tweet in, like, 1997. He's like, I'm Man Cow. He's not funny anymore. I'm like, was this tweet, like, thrown into a box 13 years ago? Were you, like, waiting for the right moment?
No, you know, I forgot that I was following him, that I always read his stupid tweets, and I'm like, why am I following this idiot?
Chuck, my guest is calling in. Hello, Shelly.
How are you, Matthew?
Oh, Shelly, good to talk to you. Sorry about the technical problems we were having. Chuck, we will call you back later.
Okay. Well, the Hawks are on, don't.
Sorry. The Hawks are on, don't. Okay. All right.
I'm kidding.
No one cares anymore, Chuck. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Shelley Leibowitz calling in. He is a legendary producer in the music business. Shelley, we really thank you for coming on, and I have some questions for you.
All right, you're making me sound old now. You're making me feel old. Legendary sounds so old, you know?
Yeah, but legendaries, not too many people get that word. Like, you got to earn that word. You got to earn it, and I think you have.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I always find these to be interesting stories because the music business, much like in the entertainment business, period, there's no like application really to sign up and get in and whatever. So I'm really interested in how you got involved in the music business because there's always funny stories like they're like accidents or whatever.
Well, that's true. Excuse me.
Yeah.
First of all, let me say one thing. There is an application for being in the entertainment industry. It's called insanity. This is not for normal people.
Hear, hear.
That's the truth.
But I got started in the music business. I was a teenager. I had family in the business, and a cousin of mine brought me in the studio to record demos for the artists, and that's how I got started.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of odd.
And you just kind of worked your way up from there, or like who was your first – who was the first artist you produced for?
Jeez, you can go back to that. I probably want to go back.
Who's the first
Belmonts, did stuff with different acts through the years, you know, and then there's all different kinds of artists, and some you work with that you regret, right? And there's some that are the great thrills.
Ooh, Katie Rose, such ad. She's all about the gossip.
Oh, come on.
She wants to hear all the Christian and the Belmonts. Shelley, I'll have you know, me and my friends still sing Dion and the Belmonts, though, outside the bar on Saturday nights.
You know, we're with the Belmonts after the split, so it's a whole different issue.
So, who have you produced, Shelley? Give us a little list. Who are some of the artists you have produced?
Sammy Davis Jr., Ella Fitzgerald, on the rock and roll side, an assortment of different people. There's just so many. You know, there's so many. Let me clear up one other thing. There are a lot of artists that I work with that I didn't produce. They work as management.
Okay.
It was interesting. This was afternoon. People were asking me about when we do the concert in Bangladesh. You know, there's so many different things. And when you're in the business, If you just stick with doing one thing and one thing alone, there's a tendency to get stale and repeat yourself. When you can get involved in lots of different things, especially if you lend your talents to charity events, that's always positive. Also, you know, you end up meeting other people you end up working with as well.
Yeah. You know,
so it's fun, you know.
Yeah, I was thinking
the strangest person they ever produced.
Yeah.
Was Tiny Tim.
Really? I didn't know that about you. Tiny Tim, huh?
I got to tell you, Herb was a great music historian. You know, we used to play this game with him. We'd name a song, and he would tell you who wrote it, what label it was recorded on, who was the first artist to record the song. It was amazing.
Wow.
Never stump him.
Now, what is your, like, favorite? You don't have to pick your favorite, but give us a couple of your favorite songs that you work closely with the artist on.
Oh, Jesus, that's a tough one. It's a really tough one. Favorite songs. You really like throwing curves, don't you?
Yeah.
You don't play fair.
Well, you know.
But it can't be difficult. Okay, here we go. Let's see. One of my favorite songs done, Birth of the Blues, with Sammy Davis Jr. Working with Mike Panera, Ride Captain Ride. Jesus, a difficult question. There's so many different things with different people. Even with Ella Fitzgerald and doing How High the Moon. There's just an abundance. It's really hard to pick favorite tunes. You know, when you've been in the music business a long time, trying to say a favorite song you've worked on, is like, you know, all right, you've done a couple hundred albums through the years. What's your favorite song?
Right.
You know, certain people are a lot more fun to work with.
Yeah.
It's like Sammy Davis Jr. was really fun with Sammy, because when I started working with Sammy, I was 19. And he said to me, we have to go to Vegas. I said, cool, I've never been to Vegas. So I didn't know he was going out there for a Rat Pack show.
And he snuck you into all the places, and, you know, yeah. Well, back
well,
then,
we land in Vegas, we go directly to the Sands Hotel. We'd leave our bags at the front desk. We'd go to the showroom and snockers on. And we stand up against the back wall so nobody could see us. And Sammy started to heckle Frank. And I'm just thinking, I've heard all these stories. We're going to be murdered, you know.
Shelley.
Sinatra yells out, there's a shadow speaking from the shadows. He says, get your ass up here on stage.
later
that night, Sammy says, you better go up to your hotel room. We got a lot of work to do in the morning. And I said, okay. And I went up to the hotel room. I opened up the door, and there were six naked showgirls in the room.
Hello.
I was 19, you know. So I figured, oops, I'm in the wrong room. You know, the girl grabs me, drags me in the room, and hands me an envelope. And I open up the envelope, and there's a note from Sam. It says, welcome to Vegas. Have fun.
Oh, my God. Shelley, I'm 27. I've yet to see six naked girls. 19, you saw six at one time.
It was a different time.
It was a different time. Yeah, good one, obviously. You know, it was funny you brought up the heckling. This wasn't a question I had until now. Have you ever met Don Rickles?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Mr. Warfield.
Is he the best?
Oh, he is amazing. What a quick wit.
Still speak
you know?
To Don?
Excuse me?
Do you still speak to Don because you guys have all that past to talk about and all the good stories?
I haven't seen him in a few years.
Oh, he's great. We just saw him live a while ago, and he was fantastic.
He's still kicking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he's one of those guys who'll sit up in a coffin and insult a mortician. You know, he's one of those people.
I love it. You know what? Today was actually a This Day in History. Sinatra and Friends premiered on, I believe, ABC, and he had on Natalie Cole and John Denver. And it got me thinking about, what are your memories? Because you did a very famous special, Shelley, the Frank Dean Judy special. What was your role with that? What did you have?
Well, I didn't produce the original special. No. The original special was produced by Norman Jewison. What I did is I found it in Sid Luft's vault. And it had been laying there since 1962. And it was black and white, and the sound was awful. And I convinced it to let me run with it. So we colorized it, and I digitally remastered the sound. And then I went to PBS, and I said, I have to get this on the air.
Well, you were the genius to put it on the air. Because, I mean, that's...
Well, it needed to be done. It needed to be, you know, brought out of the darkness, so to speak, because it was too important.
Did you ever?
Know, there's one great scene in that will never be repeated, and that's Frank and Dean is sitting in a bar with hats on, smoking cigarettes, and actually drinking bourbon, and he was singing songs.
Love it.
That's great. Did you ever meet Judy Garland?
Yes, I did.
Did you know this story? I just heard this story today, and I don't know if you know this is true or not, but she had a variety show on CBS, and what she had
Sid produced it.
Right. From her dressing room. Now, tell me if this is a true story. I heard it today. It may be. Someone told me rumor. So we'll see. But there was a yellow brick road that went from her dressing room to the stage. And what happened was the cleaning crew didn't know what the hell it was. So they
cleaned it up.
They cleaned it up.
Oh, no.
Is that the true story?
That is true.
Shelley Leibowitz just brought the goods. We got that rumor cleared up.
All right.
All right.
That's one of the side goals of this show, by the way. So
now, Shelley, you're probably wondering how I even knew that. Because I'm like, it came out of nowhere today. My buddy, I'm mentoring right now with someone that used to be an executive at CBS, and he said to me, you're having on Shelley. Ask him about Judy Garland and ask him if that's a true story, because he always wanted to know. We're big TV historian guys. So that's great they cleared that up. That's a funny story.
There were a lot of interesting stories from the TV show.
Is there anything you could share? Because I got to imagine. Now, how much was Judy like Liza?
It's how much is Liza like Judy?
Right.
You know? Judy. The thing with Judy is that being a child star. Like I know Mickey Rooney, and Mickey always says the same things. You know, it's a really fucked up life. You know, and because you don't have a life with adults, your life with children, your life is with adults. And Judy was fired by the studio. It freaked her out. She thought her career was over. You know, they thought she was done with movies, so they just canned her. And Sid Love said, screw this crap. You know, and he reopened the Palace in New York and put her in there. And then their whole music career was started off. Liza is very much her mother's daughter. She is she's that alive on stage as Judy. She has the audience in the palm of her hand like Judy. You know, she is the consummate entertainer. Because Judy was a consummate entertainer.
Wow.
You know, Judy was very neurotic and had a lot of problems, especially drug issues, you know. But Liza's issue is that she likes to marry gay guys. So put it all together and spell that or know what.
You know, this is like Christmas for me. I'm loving these stories. I love this. Tell me, I got another rumor for you, Shelley. Is there a story about Ella Fitzgerald getting arrested and getting out of it?
Oh, yeah. she was represented by Norman Granz. Norman was a wonderful guy who believed in talent, but he had this thing that he never would sit still for anybody, treating his black talent any different than white talent. This was, you know, in the 50s and 60s. And Ella was booked into a place in Texas. And Norman went in ahead of time and lectured everybody in town, the police department, the theater people, the hotel people, that you have to treat everybody the same way. And with all the lectures, he pissed off on the local sheriffs. So the sheriff broke into Ella's dressing room, and Dizzy Gillespie and Eleanor Duquette were shooting craps and smoking pot. Oh. And Ella was just sitting at her dressing table putting on her makeup. So they arrested the three of them. So when they get down to the jail, they're all behind bars in a little local jail. And this one deputy sheriff looks into her and he says, ain't you that singer Ella Fitzgerald? She says, yes, I am. He says, my wife loves you. Can I get an autograph? She says, listen, honey, we'll give you autograph pictures and as many as you want if you just let the hell out of here. And he did.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow. That's a great story. I love it.
I'll tell you another Ella story that nobody really knows.
Oh.
And that is Marilyn Monroe, when she was doing her first musical for the studios, was given a stack of Ella Fitzgerald records to learn how to sing. Listen to these and you'll learn how to sing, was what she was told. So she went to the owner, a couple of years later, she went to the owner of the Macombo here in Los Angeles and says, why don't you have a book Ella Fitzgerald? And the guy says, we don't book black acts. So she said, I tell you what, if you're booking Ella, I'll be ringside every night. And you can advertise it. And the owner of Macombo says, you're kidding me. She said, no. So they booked in Ella. And after that, Ella and Marilyn became closest of friends.
Wow.
And the topper was, Norman Mailer was writing Death of a Salesman. And he used to run his pages past Ella to read and get her feedback.
Wow. That... I just love how they tell Marilyn Monroe, listen to these Ella records, you can learn how to sing.
Right.
Well, you know, in those days, you know, here, learn this, you can learn how to sing. Just listen to her and how she sings, you know. Yeah, right. Listen to Ella and you're going to learn, you can't sing like her, but you can pick some things up.
How great was it with Frank, though? When you saw Frank and Dean and Sammy and all them, they have you the best.
The three of them together on stage had such magic because they loved one another.
Yeah,
and nothing was rehearsed, and they just wanted to crack each other up. And, you know, they were supposed to be on stage for an hour. Sometimes it'd be 4 hours later, they were still on stage, you know. That's what it was when they were in Vegas, and they owned the town. I remember we walked through the casino at the Sands one night, and as we're walking through, this guy grabbed Sinatra by the arm and asked him for an autograph, because he grabbed Sinatra by the arm. Sinatra punched the guy in the mouth. He started to walk away, and the guy went to go after Sinatra, and two of Frank's bodyguards grabbed the guy, took him out, tried to beat the crap out of him. Frank humped the guy's room later on and everything else, but, you know.
The comp after the beating is the classiest.
Shelley, one day I hope I am famous enough that I could beat the crap out of someone and comp their room.
Right.
Nowadays, they'd sue you. It's a whole different world.
Yeah, I'd have to find a midget to beat up anyways.
Right.
I got no shot against anyone my size.
Peter Dinklage. Peter Dinklage.
Midgets. I used to date a midget girl. I was nuts over her.
Come on.
Shelly,
yeah?
For real? All right, he's telling a joke right now.
That was a joke in case you didn't get it. You know?
Wait, Shelly, was that the joke? You were nuts
Shelly.
Over her? Oh, man.
It's going to be a tough room, huh?
Shelly has his Facebook's full. He's booked to the brim. You can't, like, add him.
I saw that, actually.
People are jealous that I'm his friend, and I'll tell you something that I make people jealous of. Shelly tells the funniest fucking jokes on the Facebook, and he plays great videos that you wouldn't be thinking of, like, off the top of your head from YouTube. You have one of the best Facebook pages out there, Shelly. I love following you.
Thank you. I get a lot of people asking me about different songs, so I'll post the songs or different things. But then, you know, and like photos of different people that I have in my private collection. But, you know, I just can't, you know, let it be too sane, so I have to post some ridiculous jokes.
I mean, and it's just your wide variety of stuff you post, too. Like, today, I'm looking at right now, you had David Bowie Heroes, which is great. And it just shows that Shelly's variety of taste is just, it's great. He's got Marvin Gaye on here, Let's Get It On,
right.
Live.
Well, most of it is people I worked with or friends with or whatever, you know, so, you know, with Bowie or the Stones. I went on the Steel Wheels tour for 4 weeks in Europe with the Rolling Stones, and finally I decided if I did not get away from them, I was going to die.
That's great. You know, I wanted to
ask... You know what they were doing? You know what they did? We had the big four-engine prop plane with the big lips on the side, and we'd pick up a bunch of girls in England, fly them to France, they'd screw them on the plane, and then leave them in France. Give me after I would go home, you know. And pick up girls in France and take them to Italy, you know. That's going through Europe. That and refueling on fuel and drugs, you know.
So how is it Hugh Hefner has a show, you don't have a show?
Yeah, really.
Like,
oh, Hefner's a wonderful guy.
But Shelly, I see women hitting on you on Facebook still all the time.
Right.
You are
well,
like...
Well, you know, there's something about brain damage, you know.
How great is that story?
It's a sexy disease.
Shelly, is there anyone out there today, like mainstream artist-wise, that you're into? Is there any type of music, any type of artist you're really...
You know what, I'm kind of disturbed, depending on how we get into this, okay? The music business, the entertainment business has been corrupted by television. Hmm. You know, these kids think right now they can get a little program for their computer and they can become a star because they can just record something.
Hey, that's what we're...
American Idol feeds into that.
Uh-huh.
What years ago, the reason you got great quality entertainers is because they had to go out and pay their dues and learn to be good, learn how to work in front of an audience, you know, learn how to fine-tune their craft. When I worked at labels going back to the days of Roulette, you know, we had artist development. We taught people. Now they don't do any of that anymore.
Yeah.
So you don't get people who have the opportunity to grow. And
so
you have basically a group of companies owned by the major labels that control radio. So you know, I always say if rock and roll started today, we'd never make it on radio. Because through independent labels, the majors would never touch it.
Well, I'm curious, Shelly, if you think it's like a bygone era where someone like Sammy Davis Jr., who was not only singing and dancing, but also doing several other things extraordinarily well... Is that whole culture of somebody who's incredibly talented at nine things starting to go by the wayside, or has it already gone by the wayside? Because Michael Jackson, yeah, he was singing and dancing at the same time really well, but he wasn't also playing the piano and doing an impersonation of Billy Joel.
I think that it is possible, but it's not likely to see more people like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, understand, Sammy started when he was 5 years old, you know,
right.
And Sammy could sing, dance, act, tell jokes, do impressions, play a few musical instruments, you know.
I love the movie Tap. You ever seen that movie, Shelly?
Yeah.
With Sammy Davis Jr. and Sandman and Greg Hines. Greg Hines, when we lost him, that was rough on me. And, I mean, you know, I was
Nice guy. Greg was a nice guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's the best.
He's great.
Yeah. Oh, that's a so you knew Gregory Hines.
Well, I because of my association with Sammy, I ran into a lot of people, and sometimes we'd meet a lot of people together and go someplace. You know, I used to take Sammy up to do Playboy After Dark, and that's where I met Hugh Hefner the first time.
Playboy.
When Hefner had the TV show Playboy After Dark, you know.
Are you and
but
Hugh?
I brought a few people up there. Yeah, I brought Harry Nilsson up to Playboy After Dark. You know, and a few other people.
So I, but you brought up Hugh. Do you guys still talk at all?
Rare occasion. You know, I wish him congratulations on him.
Yeah.
His impending marriage, and I asked him to please don't hurt her on the honeymoon, you know. But it brings me back to the old Groucho Marx line, you know, having sex at 90 is like shooting pool with a rope.
Katie Rose
out.
The slippery
and I told Hefner, I said, put down a Viagra and pick up a can of spray starch. You're going to hurt yourself with the Viagra.
I love it. What are your thoughts, though, on the rap genre, Shelley? Do you just feel like...
Oh, God. Rap is to music as Etch-a-Sketch is to art. You know, rap is not music. It's urban poetry.
Oh.
And they're selling it as music, but it basically, it truly is. It's urban poetry. You know, I have a lot more appreciation for hip-hop, you know, because it's musical.
Mm-hmm.
Rap doesn't tend to be musical. It's just somebody angry saying, you know, and it always gets me when it's a rich white kid saying, oh, screw your mother and I hate my neighborhood. Give me a break. You know, you drove up to the studio in your BMW. Yeah, you got to rock it.
I was always wondering, though, Shelley, like, I wonder what Sammy or Ella or any of these legends would have thought of the rap genre.
I don't think they would have thought much of it. See, Ella appreciated everything.
Yeah, right.
Her son, Ray Brown Jr., was a drummer. So Ella wrote a song called Ringo's Song because she knew Ray loved the Beatles. And then she incorporated a couple of Beatles tunes into her act because she thought they were good musically. You know, I can't see someone like Ella Fitzgerald or Sammy Davis Jr. or Nat King Cole or even Elvis Presley thinking that rap was music.
Yeah.
I think they would look at, you know, especially, you know, to go back to the 1950s, the beatniks in Greenwich Village, it wasn't supposed to be music. It was poetry. And bongos playing in the background. It's the same thing as a beatbox. You know, it's just a different generation's version of the same thing.
Right. Well, I'm just kind of happy I never got to see Sammy Davis in a rap video like I saw Milton Berle in a rap video.
It's
a round and round video with Round and Round by Rat, and Milton Berle's in drag, and he also is not in drag, but
right.
I'm like Milton. Oh.
Drag was his thing.
But I guess it was like his son or something that directed the video maybe or produced it or
that's
something.
That's probably why, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what I was wondering? Is there anyone you would work with today, though?
Oh, there are quite a few. Bruno Mars is very talented. There are a lot of young people who are talented, you know. I don't see it in terms of the rap world, no.
No, but you've had Bruno Mars.
Major labels approach.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
No, go ahead. Major labels, go ahead.
No, I've had major labels ask me to produce, you know, albums by different people, and I hear a demo, and I go, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first of all, I think the major labels have created a real disservice when they wanted everyone to write their own songs, because everyone's not a songwriter.
No.
The reason you had great songs coming out through the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s is because you had a great pool of songwriters that everybody depended upon.
Right.
Even the days of the Brill Building with Carole King and Jerry Goffin and Doc Thomas, Mark Shulman, and Bacharach and David, and all these people who were writing these great songs, because they weren't performers, they were songwriters. To say that every young act needs to write their own songs is assuming they can write a song.
Right.
But they don't understand the structure of a hit song.
Well,
they don't understand what a strong hook or a chorus is.
I guess, Shelley, this will be your hell, but Cara DioGuardi, who did American Idol, has a television show coming out, I believe, in the fall, where not only is it like American Idol where they have auditions and people sing, but they write their own music as well. So that should be interesting.
It's going to be awful.
Yeah.
I just see it now.
Well, you know, to each his own, you know, and TV heats that crap up, so what can I tell you?
Yeah, there's going to be like four singing shows on next year. That's
right.
Too much.
Right.
That's too much. There's nothing.
Well, you know,
good people.
NBC's new show, The Voice, is interesting because it's strictly about The Voice, and four music stars helped mentoring these people. It's a different attitude, dude. You know.
Do you like Maroon 5 or Christina or any of them? Or do you like?
I think Christina is very talented. The first time I saw her, she was 14.
Wow.
And she's come a long way. She's got a phenomenal voice.
Yes.
You know, she needs to put the bottle down.
Yeah, I was going to ask Katie Rose. Was her first song Genie in a Bottle? And then she did Reflections from, what's the name of that?
Mulan.
Mm-hmm. That's stupid. It was going to be hate speech again. We wouldn't be on iTunes.
Right.
Shelley, I had a question for you. What is, like, if your life had a soundtrack, give me a couple songs.
Oh, God. Well, I always say, you know, the songs you remember are the soundtrack to your life, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like mine could be, I guess, the Harry Nilsson song, You Break My Heart, You Turn About, So Fuck You, but that's a whole other issue.
Do you have a favorite Rat Pack song?
No, because they did so many things that were just so wonderful all the time.
Right. That's
and
how I
some of the routines that went on all the time is one thing that constant every show is somewhere along the line, the Rat Pack show, Dean Martin would pick Sammy Davis Jr. up and walk up to the microphone and say, I want to thank the NAACP for this award.
See, I don't know if you can even get away with those jokes anymore. And it's hilarious.
It is.
And Sammy...
Groucho Marx did a thing on his old TV show that you couldn't get away with anymore, which was he was interviewing this woman who said she had 10 kids. And he said, well, why do you have 10 kids? She said, well, I love my husband, Groucho. He says, yeah, I love my cigar, too, but I take it out of my mouth every once in a while. And that was on live television.
Oh, that's great.
That would never fly today.
Well, not just that, but the whole thing of just smoking and drinking real liquor on stage. It's not just what you were saying, but how you were saying it and how you looked saying it.
You know what? It wasn't a time of being politically correct. Number one. And number two, it was a matter of they could have fun with one another. They weren't making fun at anyone else's expense. Well, it was a different time where people were thrilled to watch these guys have fun.
Yeah.
Smoking and drinking was fine. Nobody had a problem with it, you know.
No, I was going to ask you, Shelley, do you still go to Vegas at all? Do you still trek your way out there?
I go every once in a while.
Yeah. Do you got, like, all the connects still there? Did they, like...
I can go to any show I want to go to. Usually when I go, it's just to be indulgent.
Very different place now, of course.
Now,
Vegas.
Some of it's like Disneyland, which is a big joke.
Yeah.
Some of the hotels wonder why they're not making the same money is because they're scared off the high rollers.
Yeah. No, I agree. Lee, I'm going to go out to L.A. in a few months, and I'm going to call up Shelley, and I'm going to say, Shelley, you got to teach me how to pick up women.
It's easy. You grab them by the ankles, and hopefully you don't drop them on their head.
Well, I kind of look like Fred Flintstone. So
yeah.
Well, then you have to do the old-fashioned thing. You walk up to a girl with a rag and say, does this smell like chloroform to you?
Oh, my God.
I love chloroform jokes.
He, that's what I haven't been doing this whole time.
Lee, that's what we've been doing wrong.
Yeah, precisely.
Oh, my gosh.
Or, you know, you can always sit in the casino and hold up a couple $100 bills and watch your girls from running over. They do every time.
Yeah, if I had a couple $100 bills.
I could always just etch my way into the pinky ring demographic, and cleavage will inevitably follow.
Well, we know how Katie Rose feels about pinky rings, whether she likes to admit it or not now.
Thanks.
I know Katie Rose loves Ella Fitzgerald. You got any questions for Shelley? Anything interesting?
Not so much. I enjoy hearing the stories.
Do you like the stories?
I do.
Yeah, they're great.
I don't know if you know this, but Ella was a very shy lady, and she really was very insecure. And she would come off the stage after doing 3 or 4 encores and say, do you think they like me?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she seemed like a really sweet woman. Like
She had a very, very hard life.
Yeah.
Horrible childhood. But she never did anything, even though she lived on the street for a while, she never did anything to sell herself. She made money at one point by singing and dancing for the street hookers to let them know when the cops were coming. She started singing and dancing on the corner, and the girls would scatter, and the cops would leave. She'd sing and dance again, and the girls would come out and give her money.
Wow.
Didn't she work for the mob? Wasn't she like a runner for them, too?
She did do a little bit, but most of the things she did, she never did anything like a lot of other women would do, and I think that we're in the middle of trying to get her life story made into a feature film, because for young women to see that, you don't have to sell yourself, you know.
Well, Shelley,
have respect for yourself.
Ella Fitzgerald, who's playing her? Who can you see playing Ella? That's not.
Well, we're thinking about Queen Latifah.
Oh,
that was gonna be my. I was gonna say that.
Oh,
I wanted to see what you said.
She'd be really good. She would be, and I know she loves Ella Fitzgerald.
She'd be
interesting.
Who doesn't? Everybody loves Ella Fitzgerald.
Well,
you know, Sinatra gave her the name America's First Lady of Song. Everybody loved Ella.
Right. Oh. The people love Queen Latifah.
That would be great. That would be great.
You know,
yeah.
There were so many people who were completely in awe of Ella. You know, I took Ella to do the Carpenters TV show. And in rehearsals, Karen Carpenter was having trouble singing a duet with Ella. She kept getting choked up. So for the actual taping, Karen lip-synced and Ella sang live.
Oh. Now, you were around Karen Carpenter then? What was she like to work with or be around?
Karen was... She was a wonderful talent, and she was a pleasure to work with. She was just a very unhappy woman. She reminded me a lot of Janis Joplin and the type of person who was never happy. She wasn't happy with herself. They didn't think they were nice people, good-looking people, talented people, and they tortured themselves.
It's always sad
when you see that.
I got no segue, but I got to ask you some weird questions now. They're just for my own personal interest. I don't care if people care about it.
Well, we know you're weird, so go for it.
I need to know if there are three people you have met or worked with that I don't know about or you've been around. One of them's Michael McDonald.
Nope.
You've never met
Michael. I shouldn't say that. I met Michael. I haven't worked with him.
Oh, okay. He was nice when you met him. He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. I had a problem. But that was my own problem.
Oh.
And that was because we were trying to do a benefit for one of the drummers for the Doobie Brothers who had passed away. And they asked Michael if he would, you know, do it, and he didn't want to do it. Because he said, I'm not with the Doobies anymore. And I was like, for crying out loud, it's a benefit. It's one night. It's a, you know, one show. You know, you can be human.
Michael.
But, you know.
That hurts.
Heartbreaking.
Okay, I got one for you. Oh, go ahead. You were going to say.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Here's another one for you. Kenny Loggins.
Kenny's a really nice guy. He really is. He's a gentleman. He's a classy guy. He does a lot of benefits and charity work. He's a really nice person.
These are my dream guests to get on the show. Michael McDonald. And we're having on Michael's son, Dylan, at some point. He has a band. They're in. They just did South by Southwest. I heard some stuff. I didn't hate it. I liked it.
You know, you probably enjoy. It was a really good guitarist, George Harrison's son, Danny.
Oh,
I've heard that.
That's interesting. I didn't know. I didn't even know about him.
Yeah, he plays.
Oh, I should look into that too. And then my third person, dream guest, Daryl Hall.
Daryl's. I'm sure you wouldn't have any problem getting Daryl on.
Yes. That's what I like to hear. But you know what? I called up Daryl's people, and they're going to listen to this, and now he's never going to come on. But I call up Daryl's people. And, you know, I haven't had to call up a lot of people's people. Like, I have a lot of friends or people I talk to, and I just hit them up, and they're nice enough to come on. But I call up Daryl's guy, and you could totally tell he was like, podcast. Well, why don't – he goes, May's a busy month for us. And I'm like, June's great. We're booked until the middle of June anyways. He's like, June's a busy month for us. And I go, July is fine. And he goes, summer's a busy season for us. And I'm like, what about the fall? And he's like, why don't you send over some stuff? Let me look at it. I'll try to talk Daryl into doing it. I'm like, come on, Daryl, I love you. I play your videos all the time. I love Daryl.
Meanwhile, Daryl's doing his little internet thing from his living room.
I'm from Daryl's house. I'm addicted. I love it. I really do. He's having on Dave Stewart tomorrow. Tomorrow. There's a plug, Daryl. Get your ass on my... He's having on Dave Stewart tomorrow. And
well, listen, you know, I know that Daryl knows how to use a phone. I've seen him use one before.
Well, you know, he had on Todd Rundgren twice, and that was great. He's had on Rob Thomas, Train. Like, it's really a fun show. Who's the Australian chick, or is she not Australian? The one that does Black Horse and the Cherry Tree, Katie Tunstall. She was on. Uh-huh. It was fantastic. They did a version of Rich Girl, maybe. I don't know, but it was fantastic. I loved it. Okay, well, those were my three dream guests that I need to get on. And you know, if Sammy and Frank and Dean were alive, they'd be at the top, though.
They'd be at the top.
And then I
could ask Sammy why he had the red pinky fingernail.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was going.
Yeah. Do you know about that, Shelley? What's with that?
No.
No,
he did that.
It sounds
that
like
was Ralph. That was for Alta Beach. That was for his wife.
Yeah, it's not. Oh, okay. Oh, it's a personal thing. I got it. So, Shelley, are you? Don't mean to get too personal. Are you still a bachelor?
Is there another way to be?
You know what? That's why I love this guy, because I want to be just like I don't like relationships. I just haven't met the right one, maybe, or whatever it is. What are the odds of that happening?
Well, it's hard to find women who want to do what you want to do. You know, we just get drunk and forget women.
Oh, now I kind of want to know what Shelley wants to do.
Right.
Well, my ideal woman is a deaf, dumb, and blind nymphomaniac who owns a liquor store and is bisexual.
That's oddly specific.
I'm trying to think of how I can improve on that, and nothing's going.
Wait a minute, was there a volunteer? No.
Oh, that is so. Shelley, you know, you're going to need to come on more often. I hope you don't mind. We love having you on, man. This is great.
Right, I posted on Facebook one day, and for my next act, I need a condom and a volunteer, and all bunch of these women say, I volunteer.
I know, I saw that. Like,
moron, it's the internet. What are you going to do? You
know? Women hit on Shelley nonstop, and like I'll click on their profile to see if they're hot, and a good percentage of them are really good looking. I'm like, what the fuck? I can't get
laid. You can only imagine what the payroll must be.
You know, Shelley.
You remember, artificial intelligence is no match for natural stupidity, so anything can happen.
I'm serious, though, Shelley. When I come out to L.A., you're going to have to take me to a bar or something. We're going to have to.
Oh, sure.
We're going to see what kind of game I got. Shelley, I want to thank you very much for calling in. What do you got going on in the future? What are your plans? You're working on that. Now, this Ella movie that you're trying to get made, is this like, how far along in the process are we?
The script is being written right now.
And there's
I put together a treatment for the movie.
I
knew Ella well.
I got
so the script is being written, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Do you guys already have studios interested? One will be. Yeah. Yeah,
and,
you know, the Ray movie, Warner Brothers, they did a really good job with that. I think
that was pretty well done, except it wasn't completely accurate, which was sad, because David Fathead Newman, who was somebody I knew fairly well, is portrayed in the movie as getting Ray hooked on heroin, and it was the other way around. You know, and that always bothered David until the day he died, you know.
Oh, wow.
You hate to see stuff like that. The Johnny Cash movie was a little more accurate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a good movie. Shelley, real quick, I have my movie review buddy, who's also a Chicago politician. Lenny, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on?
You got anything good for Shelley? You got any questions or anything? You're missing some killer stories.
Well, you know what? I'm at a bar right now. I'm across from the Standard Club down on Plymouth and Jackson, down in the city.
We just wanted to order a deep dish pizza to be delivered.
As I tuned in, immediately I heard him saying, Matt asked you, are you a bachelor? And you're like, is there any other way to be? I kind of jumped up and down outside. People were looking at me. I'm outside grabbing a smoke. I was jumping up and down. I'm like, absolutely. I was hoping other people heard me, but they didn't. But I admire that. I really do. It's
Lenny, wait till you hear the replay. There are some great stories. Like Shelley was talking about, you know, Dean and Frank and Sammy and six women at one time and France.
Well, you know what? Not even that. But there's an appreciation for the way things used to be. I mean, for our generation now, Matt, me and you being younger, we have a nostalgia for what came before us, and just these were real showmen. They were outstanding in what they did. They had class. I mean, now where could you go and get a dinner and a show? You can't go anywhere and get a dinner and a show anymore.
You
know, like when you used to have, you know. Yeah, that's always a show.
Put on a show for you.
Yeah, that'll be a real show. You know, even the people that work there, it's a show. But, I mean, no, I don't know if you guys already covered this, but what did you think about that Rat Pack show in Vegas? Shell, what do you think about that Rat Pack show in Vegas?
I think there's guys making a living off what other people did before, you know. They try to do impressions. They try to come off being close to them. But let's be honest, you know, they're not close at all.
Some of the
impressions are a little bit over the top. You know, they always they do this thing with Dean as this drunk, and Dean wasn't a drunk.
He's not. I read somewhere that he was never drunk when he was performing.
No,
he never even drank. That was apple juice.
Even if he had a drink, he would sip it. He was not much of a drinker.
Right.
You know,
and
Dean was
he played it.
He was a practical joker, but he wasn't a drinker.
I mean, because he played on stage Thursday.
I got to tell you a quick one. With Dean and Jeannie went away for a weekend, and he had overheard before they left that the girls were going to have a party while they were gone. So when they went to Tahoe for the weekend, as soon as he got to Tahoe, he called back to Beverly Hills, and he called the police. And he said, there's this party going on at this house, and he gave him his address. And he says, no, when one of the neighbors, nobody can get any sleep. So the cops came and break up the party. So the next, when they got home, he says to the girls, how was the weekend? She said, well, Dad, to tell you the truth, we had a party, but the cops came. He says, I know, I called them.
I meant to ask you, Lenny reminded me, thank God, because I'd have to have you on again next week. Frankie Valli, you know, have you met Frankie? You know Frankie?
I know Frankie and Frankie Avalon. They're the best of friends, and Frankie Valley's a great guy.
What's your opinion of? Did you ever see the Four Seasons back in the Vegas days with the Rat Pack and everything? How were they live?
Well, the Four Seasons were always really good live because Frankie and the guys were real pros. You could say, you know, they refined their act long before the first record deal.
They had killer.
You know, they practiced everywhere in the street corners and in bathrooms and every place else.
Did you like?
And they were wonderful.
Did you like Jersey Boys show?
Great show. It's really well done.
What?
It's very entertaining.
Go ahead, Len. What were you?
No. I actually got to go see Frankie Valli 2 years ago when he played in Chicago. It was me, my mom, and my dad. We were third row from the front, and it was just phenomenal. Because when you think, I mean, and I know all the songs, you know, and Jersey Boys, too. I mean, Jersey Boys, outstanding show. But when you see the actual man, Frankie Valli, it's amazing.
Frankie's happy to say that, you know, hey, I make more money off of that show than I made off all my record sales.
The royalties.
Did you ever party with Frankie Valli? Was he a party guy, or was he just...
I never partied with him. I went out to dinner once with Frankie Avalon and his wife, and Frankie Valli and his wife, and I'd never do that again.
Now, Sean...
Were you the fifth wheel, or...?
Yeah, what is the...
No, it's not that. Frankie Valli and his wife are very loud, and sometimes they can be kind of rude, and we were asked to leave the restaurant.
So, in other words, you went to dinner with me and Lenny.
Yeah.
Oh, Shell.
Well, then they just have to bring bail money.
Well, Lenny. Yeah. Of course, Lenny knows all the songs to Jersey Boys because we're singing them outside the bar every weekend. You would think we're putting on a Broadway show outside the bars. It's weird.
Well, it's an appreciation because, I mean, there was a lot of Italians in show business at one time.
Lenny, you missed some.
You know, almost every act that came out of South Philly was Italian.
Oh.
Yeah, half the hip-hop acts that came out of Brooklyn were all Italian. I think Deanna and the Belmonts from the Bronx were all Italian.
Deanna and the Belmonts, that's enough. I mean, just for me, a point of ethnic, I mean, we were all Italian-American. We weren't off the boat in that sense. But there's that appreciation for that, what transgressed. I mean, this was great music that we still appreciate now. It just,
good,
yeah,
good
Deanna and the Belmonts.
Good music doesn't die.
Could you imagine?
I doubt you're going to be humming some rap song in your shower a year from now. But, you know, remember Deanna and the Belmonts.
Right. The music doesn't die. I think that's a quote I'm putting on Facebook. The music doesn't die.
Lenny, did you know what?
It's like a bad rash. It doesn't go away.
Well, you missed the beginning when Shelley worked with the Belmonts.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know what? If you YouTube, they actually have the doo-wop version of a Do Run Run, and there was another one, and it's just great. I got that on my CD in my car, too.
The great thing
about YouTube is there's so many things that are being put up there. We even put up a whole bunch of stuff with Rat Pack live from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Really?
Transferred from the original films of them, yeah. Really cool.
There's a duet of Frank and Dean on YouTube. It's a red screen in the background. It's just them two going back and forth, like singing their songs, but they're having fun with it. You got to search it. It's Frank and Dean. There's a red backdrop. It's about eight minutes long.
Show. It's Dean's TV show, and they were just having a lot of fun and cracking each other up.
Even watching the roast that Dean Martin used to have, the old man of the hour. Those were the original roasts. Those were great.
They were hysterical.
You know, when you see Don Rickles, Don Rickles was outstanding. I got to see him twice.
Hey, Lenny.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. We already covered Rickles, cannot.
I'm sorry, I'm a little late to show. But is Shelley out in L.A., Matt?
Shelley is out in L.A. Oh, here we go.
Okay, well, no. I'm just saying, because I'll be in Vegas for the 7 days, and I'm driving up to L.A. after that. Spend 2 or 3 days out here. So when I'm out there,
well,
let me
know when
you can
be here, so I make sure you leave town first.
Yeah. You know what? You know what, Len? I may have to join you for the L.A. portion.
Yeah. I mean, it's an appreciation. Well, those guys, in a sense, I mean, Vegas was their place. And I don't know if you guys discussed the Rat Pack as much, but I don't know if Peter Lawford and Joey Bishop really got the props that, you know, Frank Dean and Sammy did.
Well, let's not go into too much of that. Peter Lawford didn't deserve any props. You know, he'd been holding up props. Joey was fine. But the reality of the Rat Pack was Frank, Dean, and Sammy. That's the only people anybody wanted to see. Even when Joey was part of the show, it was tolerated. You know, Joey was funny, but still, it wasn't Frank,
those three
and
were
Sammy, because the three of them were funnier than Joey, you know, when they wanted to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
I tell you what, Shelley, thank you so much for coming on, and we need to have you on again very soon. I'm serious about it. I'm very, very serious about it. I know people say that in every show, but no, I really mean it. You got so many stories. I can't cover them all tonight.
That was a treat.
And, this is like I said, this is like Christmas to me. I love this. I love it. You're the best, man. You're the best.
You're a cheap date.
I am. I'm really stupid. Yeah, you know what?
This is what floats your boat. I'm getting seriously concerned about you.
Shelley's concerned.
Starting to wonder here, boys and girls.
Wait. What are you starting to wonder, Shelley?
What kind of drugs are you people on?
The good stuff.
And it's not just you, Matthew. You're not alone there, so I'm worried about everybody else there, too.
Lenny told us on last week's show he's never touched a drug in his life.
He was
very adamant. Let's just like that.
What?
Len, you there?
Well,
yeah, I'm here.
Oh, whatever, Kanata. What are you doing? I'm telling stories.
No, I'm outside smoking.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, all right, that's good. I wish I could have a smoke right now. But thank you very much, Shelley, and I will be, I'll email you later this week. We're going to set up another date for you if you'd like to come on. We'd love to have you.
Oh, sure, it's fine.
I'd love to,
mind,
Lenny and I will take you out for some drinks in L.A.
Well, next time I can tell you about my lunch with Groucho Marx, and that'll be a thrill for you.
Now, wait. Did you really have lunch with Groucho Marx?
Yeah, I did.
That's how very awesome is that?
Right.
How awesome is that?
Shelley, did you know Milton Bull?
I had met Milton. I was a member of New York Friars Club, so I used to meet all the comedians who came to town all the time. And, Milton Berle would go around telling everybody, I have this legendary big dick.
Shelley, we got like 500 stories for next time. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Scratch the surface.
Shelley, thank you very much. I'll be talking to you soon, okay? Do you have anything?
You guys have a great evening.
Do you got anything to plug? Other than ShelleyLeibowitz.com. And then on Twitter, you could follow him at Shelley Leibowitz, and Facebook, he's full. Tough luck.
I'm going through house cleaning.
Oh, I have a feeling I'm on that list now.
No. We just get rid of the people who never say anything or never show up. We just want to be connected for some specific reason.
Yeah, I have a bunch of those too, but I'm like, I look popular having more people.
What is with that anyway? About a year ago, Facebook sent me this notice that you can't have any more people and you need to start a fan page. I said, this is enough to deal with. I don't need another page. So I just deleted a whole bunch of people and went, ta-da!
You need to do that, Shelley, because if you have a fan page, it's not exclusive. You've got 5,000 exclusive members to your club.
Right.
I think you should make room for Katie.
Remember, sanity is very overrated, and that's why we all gravitate in the same place.
I'm going to have Katie Rose send you an email. You got to add Katie Rose.
Deleting people is a lot of fun.
It is.
Yeah. Well, I try to wear a condom when I do it, just to be safe.
Thank you so much, Shelley. I'm going to talk to you soon. Thank you. You're the best.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks,
have a good one.
You too. Take care.
What a dynamite guy.
Oh, how great was that one,
fantastic.
Huh?
Fantastic.
That dynamite. Caesar around?
He's around. He's in the corner listening and playing Bejeweled or Blitz or whatever.
So who's all on right now?
It is myself, Lee.
Yeah, Lee Capreas.
And Katie Rose.
Katie Rose, let's hear your voice. It's so sexy.
Oh,
here we go.
Another fan.
Hi, Lenny.
Another fan.
Sorry, that was pretty gay. I used an ode there. Oh, that interview, Lenny. You got to hear the first half of that interview.
I'm gonna have to. But watch it out. I got 10 minutes because I got my food waiting at the table.
Okay, let's do our review, and I'll get ready in 10 minutes.
I got you,
okay.
Steve, in my car.
Scream 4 at the movies with Len and Matt. Here we go. At the to call it. I have a jaw. Here. Whoa, that was off color. Just awful. Okay. Lenny, Scream 4.
Yes. I liked a lot. I thought it was an outstanding movie.
Hold on, we got another call.
And it's a McArthur today.
Hello, who's calling? You're on.
No, hello. Look here, McArthur. I need to make a big order.
What kind of do you need to make?
$500. I give you.
ComedyCalls.com.
This phone call was sent to you.
That wasn't that good.
That was weird.
If you're going to prank me, you got to do a little better than that, right?
That was a recording. It wasn't even a real prank.
Oh, it wasn't even a real prank? Yeah. Terrible. That wasn't even good. At least call me or something. Okay, Lenny, Scream 4, you liked it a lot.
I did, and you know what? It brought me back to the days when the first Scream came out. I think I was in grammar school at the time.
That's what we were talking about.
So there was a nostalgia. I mean, I keep saying nostalgia. I think that's just the word I like to use tonight.
66, so we were going right into high school, you and I. We were going to...
Yeah, and I thought it was phenomenal. But I know you're going to address this, and I'll let you address this. Emma Roberts, god-awful. She killed every scene. She was out-acted. She was just brutal. She tried to overact, and when she was overacting, she was still out-acting.
The movie would have been as good as the first one if it was better acted at the end. And unfortunately, not this. I'm trying to get Eric Roberts on the show, so I really don't know what to say at the moment.
Well, after we just said something about his daughter, I don't think he's coming out, pal.
Yeah, there goes the Julia dreams out the window. That was never going to happen.
Yeah.
All right, David Letterman, calm down.
Yeah, right. Well, Emma Roberts, okay, here's what I could say about her performance in Scream 4. She was way better in Valentine's Day. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
With all five lines she had.
Well, that's all I got. Yeah, it was
and you know what? That movie had the humor, too.
Well,
there was a humorous aspect of it, which was appreciated.
Funny. It was funny. And I think here's the biggest problem with Emma Roberts. She acted and looked 13 years old. She doesn't even look the age she's supposed to be playing. And I know she really is that age, but she still looks
good. Well, yeah, like Hayden Panettiere playing a high school broad.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, she is hot, though.
She's cute. I got a new appreciation for her.
Her eyebrows really bother me.
Oh, but she has this. She does her hair short in the movie. She looks dynamite. Like
she is rocking.
Yeah.
She is rocking.
Rocking.
Also, the first 10 minutes of the movie, you will laugh your ass off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That was the best opening that we've seen.
Yeah, spoiler, we're not saying anything more on it. Just the first 10 minutes,
the first 10
it was
minutes
good.
Worth the $10 alone. It's great. And there's some great
candy. Now, who are you kidding? It's worth the $9.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, my senior discount. I forgot.
Yes.
I still use my student ID from college.
Well, depending on how risky we feel, we either go senior discount or child. Depending on how I'm rolling that day, if I feel like
if it's a rated R, we don't really rock the child ones.
No, just in case someone looks at it. You know, the only thing that's disturbing is everyone at that theater starting to know us, so they're all like talking to us now when we go there.
Which one do you guys go to?
And just an update: creepy guy was not outside.
Yeah, creepy guy was not outside this week. That's a true story. He wasn't there.
Scared him off.
You know, he probably heard the show with the other million or two listeners that we have, and
he's a fan.
He listens to a
million.
Lot.
What was that? The metric system you're using or something?
All right, slightly less.
give or take.
No, but the movie's fantastic. Courtney Cox, how good she looking though, one.
She's banging.
You heard me. What did I say? I said if she dies, I leave. That's how
if she dies, I leave.
I watched a movie with our guest next week, who I can't wait to have, Chris Williams, Vanessa Williams' brother. He's in Californication. He's in Curb Your Enthusiasm. And he's in this new movie I just watched. Well, it came out a year ago called The Joneses with Duchovny and Demi Moore.
Oh, I've seen that.
And I liked it. I thought it was really good. And Gary Cole's in it and some interesting people in it. And what was I going to say? Demi Moore and Courtney Cox look almost like exactly alike now. Like Demi looks real good, and whatever work Courtney's getting done, and pardon me if she hasn't, she's looking just like Demi.
Yeah, she looks real good.
What, a woman can't look naturally beautiful without any type of plastic enhancement?
Len, I'm challenging you to go.
No, they can't. They can't. The issue is they cannot.
I think Courtney said, I want to look like Demi.
I was going to say, go watch the 1996 Scream and tell me if Courtney looks better now. Better now. And there's so many actresses that do look better, like older.
Well, there's a maturity that they've reached that's almost a little high. And you have to understand, we're getting older here too, Matt.
Yeah, Marissa Tomei,
I think, too,
looks
better
that's
now.
True. We are getting older. They're staying the same age. Len. But
yes.
Annette Campbell was really hot, too. Let's not forget that in the room.
She was looking good.
Yeah.
She was looking very good.
Yeah,
but there's one scene in the movie where it's about 3 minutes long. I was telling Matt, just move out of the scene. It was mostly because Emma killed that scene.
Every scene she's in down, it's bad. I'm sure she has talent. Eric Roberts, please come on the show. but... Yeah, just
come on. I was waiting for him and Mickey Rourke to make a freaking appearance, a cameo in this freaking Scream.
No, yeah, Pope of Greenwich Village.
Yeah, Pope of Greenwich Village.
You know what worries me, though, is, you know, I want to act and I want to write, and one day someone's going to be like, let's put Matt in this Emma Roberts movie. And then someone's going to do some research, and someone's going to play Emma Roberts, this little podcast for five fucking people, or how many people are listening. Emma Roberts is going to be like, what a D-bag. gag. No, he got a Dilbert movie or whatever he's got offered. Him and Drew Carey in Dilbert the movie.
Dilbert the movie.
Dilbert the movie.
Yeah, yeah, Dilbert the movie. It's coming soon to a theater near you. Len, before I let you go, Caesar's birthday party Saturday?
Yeah, Caesar's party. Like, I know he's sitting right there and listening. Well, so he has to understand the sacrifice I am making by having to drive all the way up to frickin' Lake County.
I already gave him a hard time about it, and he says we don't have to go. He's doing one of those things.
Now he's going to guilt trip me.
Guilt trip, exactly. Exactly, guilt trip.
Now he's putting me on a guilt trip. Hey, no one said live in the sticks. I mean, Scott even wrote something on my wall or wrote something on his post. He's like, you're coming. He's like, you do understand this is Lake County. I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I know.
Well,
I mean, this was a deliberation I made internally in my head, and that's a drill here.
We were talking about how gay it is that they're throwing their party together. I thought it was a pretty...
Yeah, that's well, individually, let's face it, they each get about 3 people themselves, so... They got to bring it together, so.
And by gay, he means really homosexual.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't.
Just for clarification.
I'm not trying to be offensive or anything.
No.
By the way, iTunes, I love the gays, I love the blacks, I love the Jews, I love the broads, I love anyone else, Asians and...
What about gypsies?
Gypsies, I had a bad experience in Ireland with them. I'm not a fan.
Native American Indians?
Native Americans? Have you ever met one? I haven't even... I don't know if I've met one.
I used to live in Washington State.
Stop lying.
Oh, they're good people.
Would you stop? They're not good people. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Oh, would you... All right.
Exciting culture.
Here comes Under Review once again. Never can win with this one.
What's going on tomorrow night? We going out? Anything good?
Tomorrow night, are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, the Hawks just score. People in the bar are screaming.
Okay, great.
I don't even care.
Yeah, right.
You know what? The Hawks should be playing with a little more heart. They didn't play with the heart all season, but erroneous. Tomorrow, I think I do. I'm sorry, Matt. We have to go to Benchmark tomorrow. I do have a birthday.
Oh, okay, Benchmark. No, I'm fine with Benchmark, actually.
We got to get there early, about 7:30, 8 o'clock or so.
Well, I was at the wildfire last week with you guys, but I fell asleep at the end of The Baggage. Anyone watch The Baggage on the Game Show Network, Jerry Springer?
No.
Okay, so they have this chick on, and she's got a bag, and it's darkest secret. And then there's 3 dudes on, and they all have 3 deep, dark secrets each.
They have bags?
Yes, they have 3 bags each. And they show their smallest secrets first. And based off of that, she chooses who she doesn't want to date. Then they show their
dating show?
Yes. Then they show their medium-sized bags.
The dating show in reverse.
Right. So, for instance, it'll be a guy will be like, I live with 8 dudes. And she'll be like, ooh, no. And then another dude will be like, I drink every night. And she's like, it's not bad. And she'll pick whoever to leave. Whoever's the worst leaves. At the end, they have a big bag. So on the last one on Saturday, this guy won, and his biggest one was he keeps his freezers full of sperm.
His own?
Yes, his own sperm.
Oh, good luck.
And then...
I'm just getting this vision of a guy who goes around randomly jerking off other guys to put their sperm in the freezer.
Yeah.
Lenny, you brought the podcast way down.
And then but the chick had that. And the chick's bag.
You can edit that part out.
She got abducted by an alien twice. And she talked about the abduction.
Oh, no.
And, like, it was very vivid and everything. And then the dude has to decide if he wants to date her. And he said, sure, why not? I mean,
let's face it, man. We'd probably be saying, sure, why not, too.
Smoking hot. But I just love Jerry's face, like, every time, because Jerry's like, you guys are fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are more fucked up than a mayor leaving a faulty check for a prostitute. That was Jerry's
face. Isn't that what he did?
In Cincinnati, yeah. I'm dating myself for 35 years. Well,
funny how that works. Well, I gotta go back to my sandwich.
Yeah,
your patty melt.
What kind of sandwich you get?
I got a smoked turkey with bacon and chipotle mayonnaise.
Oh, where are you at? Which bar are you at again?
I'm down on Plymouth in the city. It's like Jackson and Federal. Plymouth,
well,
Jackson, Plymouth.
The Loop campus.
Yeah. I'm by my school.
Yeah, no, I remember where that's at. Okay. All right, go have fun. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later. Have a good night, everyone.
Okay, later, Len.
Bye.
Oh, he's a trip. Yeah.
How old is he?
My age. He's 27.
He totally sounds like he's well into his 40s.
Yeah, okay. I should not tell this story because Lenny's going to hear it. But I feel like every person we meet that we didn't already know asked me if Lenny's like 45.
Does he look like he's 45?
He looks like... Here, I'm going to pull up a picture of Lenny for you. He looks like Tony Soprano.
Okay.
Does he do it on purpose or is it just... That's the way it is.
Some people can't help looking like Tony Soprano.
Can you get a better one?
I could get a bigger one. We're looking at pictures of Len. Do you want to see Len Cannata with Chaz Palminteri? Or do you want to just see Len Cannata?
A solo shot.
A solo shot. No Chaz Palminteri.
Yeah, he could be my dad.
Oh, he could. Lee, I'll turn it your way.
Okay.
Don't worry. Don't worry, Lee.
Sure,
I know you need to get an image of the Matt and Lenny review show.
How old is he?
My age, 27.
That's insane.
Swear to God. But you know what it is? It's not that he looks old. He's mature.
Right. He looks accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
Compliments during the guy.
He is accomplished. I don't know anyone that works harder than Lenny. Swear to God. I'm not blowing his balls here or anything. He works extremely hard. He works on a multitude of political campaigns. He's going to be a big-time politician. He could be mayor one day. You know, we'll see. But I don't know, after that jerk-off comment, that may come back to haunt him. you can edit that out. I just love how it turned into the Shelley and Lenny show.
Yeah, absolutely. I got that CD in my car. That was my favorite.
Hey, I got that 8-track in my car.
Yeah. You guys, I used to play that song 8 times. Should be a show with those guys.
That was good.
How about that Shelley, by the way?
Oh, he's
great.
A trip.
Yeah.
I love him.
I like
he
to go out
great.
With him. He
What do you mean go out with him? Like hang out or like out on
I don't
a
want to
date
him. I would like to hang out with him.
Yeah, I do too.
Have a drink, relax. And
yeah, I do
everything.
Too.
It seems that he...
He'll take you to France.
He spoke entirely in fortune cookie statements if they were written by Bill Dana.
Oh, the references no one's ever going to get.
Oh,
that's why we get so many listeners. No, we actually have, I think, one listener tonight. That's good. No, I'm just kidding. We got more than one. I don't find out until after the show. I don't like to divulge ratings, you know. I like to keep our advertisers guessing.
Keep
the mystery alive.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but we won't find out until, like, tomorrow how many people we had listen live. And then, of course, you know, you got the iTunes now, and we got a bunch of subscribers today, so I was happy about that. Yeah, and then people listen to the show archive, too. We had quite a little north of 100 listeners last week. Which was good for first show.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
First show,
know.
That's nice. And there's so out of north of 100 people, there's probably 75 creeps that really want Katie Rose right now. How many people are going to tell me how bad they want you now?
Come on.
You know, part of it makes me jealous.
Why? And
I don't know. It's weird. You're a sexy woman. You're single. I'm single. But
it's really awkward.
But then
you feel my face heating up. It's starting in my toes.
It turned beet red. But then I'm like, you know, I don't want you to go out with one of these creepers, and then you know they have like pictures hanging up. But they won't tell you who they are. They won't tell you they're a creeper. You go to their apartment and your picture's hanging on their wall, and they got candles all in the circle surrounded by Katie Rose pictures.
The tufts of my hair.
It's real awkward. And then Billy Deck's gonna have come save the day because I can't. He'll fly in with his superhero hat and scarf. instead of a cape, he's always got the scarf. No, he doesn't have the time, and I'm not a big enough deal. My name's not Jeremy Piven. Maybe he'd listen if it was Piven.
Maybe.
Possibly Schwimmer. Possibly Kirstie Alley, I see he's been flirting with lately.
Your knowledge about my boss is a little...
I follow him on the Twitter.
That's a little bizarre to me.
It's on the Twitter.
The Twitter.
You know, he's a pretty public figure in Chicago. I got to keep up with this, Katie Rose.
I am interested in this new Kirstie Alley little friendship that they
Damn,
have.
What is that? That's so weird.
She came to one of our venues. And
Underground.
Fast friends.
Underground, because I saw pictures in the Red Eye or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of helped him out with the social media stuff, and so I was on his Twitter, and the best stuff is the DMs. I could never be telling
right,
you what
right.
it
no,
is,
no,
but
no, no. That's
dozens
fine.
And dozens, and I'm tickled pink every time I see that there's another one.
From Kirsty?
From Kirsty, yeah.
Juice.
I love her.
Oh, I'm going to have to put some truth serum in you.
Oh.
Hey, did anyone watch The Office last week with Will Ferrell?
I did.
Should I check it out? Is it any good?
I think you should, just because it's Will Ferrell. Because
this season hasn't been good. I mean, they haven't been bad. Yeah, they have their moments, but it's not like must-see TV for me right now.
Yeah, I kind of like Parks and Recreation more.
Ooh, I've never seen it.
Really?
I've only heard bad things.
Oh, I love Amy Poehler.
But you are the one that got me in The Office.
Yeah.
Hardcore. I watched like the first 5 seasons in like a week because of you.
Yeah, I wouldn't steer you wrong.
Yeah, no, you didn't steer me wrong on that. Okay, so I'll check it out, I suppose. I just want to get some plugs out of the way, and then we're going to get to a story with Lee. Plugs, First and Long tomorrow on Chicago Sportsland Radio. It's a buddy of mine, Jason Ferrari, and Brendan McCaffrey. Give it a listen. It's in the morning. Horatio Ramirez, Matthew Aaron, that's me, and Patrick Bagden will be at Cigars and Stripes May 7th, 9 p.m., doing some stand-up-ish. Can I do a real quick happy birthday before we get to Lee with his entertainment stuff? Lee, do you mind?
No.
There's a birthday today, so it's themed, you know. I want to wish a happy 60th birthday to Anthony Danza. Think I fake my Danza loving?
Do you?
No.
Who in their right mind
right.
could or would fake
right.
a love for, as you put it, Anthony Danza?
Look, he was great on Taxi.
Yes.
He was great in Angels in the Outfield. She's Out of Control was awful. Tony, if you listen to this ever, because I send it to you because I'm trying to get you on, She's Out of Control has its audience, I'm sure. Who's the Boss was fantastic. I love it. He did some, like, law show at one point with, like, Kathleen Quinlan. What was it called? Family Law.
Family Law, yeah.
CBS.
That's the one.
That's when CBS had like 100 procedurals.
Yeah.
Like it was like, they had like Touched by an Angel, Walker, Texas Ranger.
Right.
What was the Sammo Hung one? Martial Law, Family Law.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Oh, CBS had it going on. Diagnosis Murder.
They had law covered.
No, but I love Tony Danza. Tony Danza actually has an album. I'm going to try to look up some of his music while Lee shares with us. Lee, share with us a story. So we can gossip for.
Okay. Well,
we got about 8 minutes here.
I heard it in entertainment news, but nothing I ever research has to do with any actually celebrities, because I find a lot of things a lot more interesting. For example, there's something I read that now in record numbers, senior citizens, that's people 55 and over, are being reported in large numbers as having STDs. Because it's the free love generation, and they got a hold of the Viagra, and they are having the same problems that the youth are having, and in some places it's double that of people much younger than them. It's on the decrease in people in their 20s and teens and all that stuff, and on the steep increase in people over 55. And I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Gag.
You know,
I'm just never going to have sex again. Not that that's really a problem.
No.
Not that I'm on strike or anything.
Can you imagine you got a new hip and maybe you can't hear, or you have glaucoma and you have gonorrhea
Here's what bothers me. Like, I want to hook up with Diane Keaton real bad.
There you go.
Really, really bad.
Barbara Eden's still pretty looking pretty all right.
No, no, it's just Diane Keaton. I'm loyal to one woman in that age range.
Okay.
But now I'm kind of concerned.
Yeah.
Because she had a few men.
Yeah, she got around.
No, I'm trying to get Diane on the show.
Okay.
Never. But just in case, no one talks bad about my...
Can we not talk...
No one puts baby in a corner.
Can we not talk bad about any famous person because we might want to have them on
the
show?
I mean, we're not talking bad.
Only the ones I like,
okay?
Okay.
All right. But I just thought that was noteworthy because apparently, like, it's okay, they're having more sex, but it's like they're having to take any piece of ass that comes along such that they don't care if the person is riddled with diseases. Just like, oh, you're cruising a bingo hall or an IHOP. Where do you have to go to get laid in this town?
I hate to interrupt you. Someone in the chat room, Pat Tobias, I know it was you, posted, Tony Danza sucks. You suck.
Yeah.
How rude.
Okay. Well, anyway. I'm so blinded by anger that threw me off.
No, that's good. Here's a Tony Danza song that is set to a Barack Obama video. This is in honor of Tony's birthday.
Okay.
Oh, I think I have it on mute, though, so, forget it. Fuck you, Tony. All right, continue.
I'll go
continue.
On.
Continue.
So, roving gangs of Utes, we'll call them that, and the Magnificent Mile, flash mobs, which you might have heard about, where people who surf the web and are losers show up somewhere and do something pointless. But now what happens is they rob stores. And they go in and they take thousands of dollars worth of merchandise and leave before anyone knows what happened, like locusts. And it's like, it's really...
I don't think it was a roving band of Utes, though.
No.
No, you know what I think it was?
Sometimes the world looks perfect.
Oh.
Nothing to rearrange.
Way too much music. Oh my god.
Boy, did you backpedal on that promise?
Yeah, really.
Fuck.
All right, well I gotta start wrapping up here. Let's talk about Chris Williams is coming on next week.
Fantastic.
Hopefully we can have a full 2-hour show for once with Katie Rose.
I can't wait to hear what he says about the Rat Pack.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to talk to you about Chris later. He's a great dude. He's interesting, though, too. Producer Adam, thank you for the sound, for what worked. Producer Caesar, thank you for doing whatever you're doing.
Nothing.
Yeah, he's producing about zero at the moment, but that's all right. We love him anyways. Katie Rose and Lee, of course. I'll have to beg to be back here again next week. Katie Rose, can we stop this begging thing, though, where I can stop begging you?
Because I kind of feel like you really don't want me here.
No, see, and I feel the other way around. I feel the other way around, like she doesn't really want to be here.
I feel
right.
Like you're
so I'm like,
honestly like,
I need.
I think if the people at home voted who they wanted to stay on,
yeah,
it would
Lee,
not be me.
Lee would probably get a little more votes than me. It'd be the Lee and Katie Rose show. It'd come on after Regis and Kelly.
I just giggle. And
and men are getting aroused from it, I guess.
Right.
It's really disturbing, but... Seems to be happening quite a bit.
Maybe I'll come back then.
I think you should. And I think we should really have
maybe
a drink we'll... next week, too.
You've been offering
all
these promises.
We should have had martini when we were interviewing Shelley.
That's how I get you. Oh, yeah, that would have been good. Well, yeah, theme shows.
Right.
It couldn't get much gayer on this show. Theme shows now we're doing themes.
Oh.
Martini night. No, but we'll have a good time next week. I encourage you to see The Joneses since you have not.
I'm gonna.
Katie Rose and I have both seen it, so our homework is done.
Okay.
Californication, also check out if Chris Williams plays Todd. He's in the he actually spread out throughout the seasons. He's fantastic.
I will watch.
He plays David Duchovny's pretty much.
I have stuck up for the Duchov.
Yeah, well, Duchovny wrote a book, and he plays a director who made it, and it was awful. And Duchovny buries him, and they're rivals on the show. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
We have about a minute left, so I want to get in any more plugs. We did Danzo. We did the military guys. Yeah, once again, Kenny Judge, Matt Christman, Good Luck Boy. Cigars and Stripes we covered, which we got to have Patrick Bagden on before we do that. And then, yeah, but that noise sounds really good on the other
yeah.
end.
Wow.
And by the way, I want to thank Shelley Leibowitz, ShelleyLeibowitz.com, at Shelley Leibowitz on Twitter. You're fucked on his Facebook page.
View his Facebook.
Though I believe he's doing some spring cleaning. You may write him a personal email. Tell him you listen to the show. Tell him you're not like a creep.
No.
He's
weeding out ugly people
yeah,
right
maybe.
Now.
See, he said he was weeding out non-responders. I took that as ugly people.
Yeah, I did too.
Because Shelly does not seem the type that's into, like, ugly people.
No.
No.
Not that resentful
the ugly,
or anything.
The ugliest he ever did was Joey Bishop.
Like, right.
That's the ugliest human being he hung around with.
Well, they don't get much uglier.
No, and he's, like, 1,000 times better looking than me, so.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Shelly with Lenny and I out on the town. What would that picture look like?
Well,
depressing.
I think we're going to leave it on that note. Thank you very much, and catch us. Hopefully we'll be on iTunes sooner than a week from now. No hate speech, iTunes. Love you. Good night.
Mm.